Bible to Job chapter 19, verse 28. Keep your Bibles open tonight. I'll give you something here, hopefully, that will be helpful to you in understanding the case with some Christians, and in some cases might even help in understanding your own case or something about our ministry here. Job chapter 19. The statement Job makes in verse 28, the question that he asks, is really a great question. He's saying to his friends, Job chapter 19, verse 28, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? In other words, why are you guys pestering me about the condition I'm in, since the root of the matter is in you? And you ought to be asking yourself that question. Why persecute us? Why are we persecuting him, since the root of the matter is found in me? Tonight what we want to do is we want to talk about the root of the matter. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. The folks that have come here tonight have come to enjoy some fellowship, which they've already begun to do, to hear some prayer requests, which we will be doing, and some we've already heard, to hear what's going on with the missionaries. And we've had an opportunity to talk about that. And also, Father, they've come to get something from the Word of God to help them through the rest of the week. And I pray tonight, Father, that you'll speak to us directly from the Scripture. Help us, Father. We know that oftentimes we need reproof. Sometimes we just need encouragement and edification. And however you desire to use this tonight, Father, I pray that you will be a blessing to the folks that have taken the time to be here tonight. Lord, again, we pray for Tom Benson in Plainville, Connecticut, Brother Ralph Carroll, who is in Seattle, Washington. Help these men with their churches, Father, with wisdom. I pray, Father, that you'll help them with power. I pray, Father, that they will strengthen and edify the good folks that are with them, and that they'll never lose their zeal to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, to be faithful to sow the seed of the words of God, and you'll bless that. Father, we pray that you will give them good men that they can train, who can duplicate the work of the ministry and continue on with what you've given them to do. We ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you know, in order to find out the real nature of a man or the real nature of a woman, really what you need to do is you need to look down at the root of the matter, which is what these guys were incapable of doing. They saw Job in a particular case and didn't realize the same thing could happen to them. Or more importantly, they saw Job in a state and thought that they were better than he was, when in fact they were the same. God was doing something in Job's life they didn't understand, and they began to pick on him. And the trouble is, they couldn't see the root of the matter. And Job pointed that out, seeing the root of the matter is found in me. So you need to look beneath the surface. When Samuel went to pick anoint a replacement king for Saul, he saw David's older brothers and he said, this has to be the guy right here. Because the countenance, the size, the demeanor indicated that he was looking at somebody that was very kingly. And the Lord said, man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. So when you get to the root, then you can begin to really discover what's going on in a person's life. The root of the matter will tell you what kind of person you're dealing with, and will also tell you why that person does what he does. When John the Baptist was baptizing and the Pharisees came up there, he said the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And whatever tree doesn't bring forth good fruit, that tree is coming down, it's going to be cast into the fire. Because that's where the problem lies. It lies in the root. Or that's if it's not a problem, if it's something good, it lies down in the root of the tree. So the trouble with men, or the benefit with men, is going to come forth from the root. We want to look at some of those that are obvious tonight, because you're going to see the word root in the context. And let's see some things. Turn first of all with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Colossians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. All right, in Colossians chapter 2, we pick up the context from verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Watch it. Rooted, there's that word. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All right, now the philosophy and vain deceit, that's very common in the classroom today, in the high school level, in the college level. The tradition of men, very common in religion. The trouble with the Pharisees in Jesus' day is that they were teaching the traditions of men. They were not teaching the commandments of God. The rudiments of the world, those are the basic principles of worldliness. One of those is, you got to make a living. And therefore, a person pursues a path of instruction in life that's contrary to the will of God because he was told that he had to go make a living. We know from what Paul teaches that if a man doesn't work, he can't eat, of course. But that concept, that rudiment of the world, says, I'm going to put my need to make a living ahead of the will of God for my life. You understand? And so those kinds of things, there are many rudiments of the world, those basic worldly principles. Dog eat dog, you got to get ahead in the world, that kind of thing. All right, well now he says, in order to keep from being spoiled by these things, a person needs to be rooted and built up in the Lord Jesus Christ and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. All right, well what happens then is something we've seen very regularly, even here in our church. Children will grow up, they get to a certain age, 17, 18, 19, and suddenly they are exposed to philosophies or vain deceits in the world. They are exposed to rudiments of the world, and the next thing you know, they're not in church anymore. And the problem is not that they were exposed to that philosophy. Because you're going to be exposed to that philosophy and vain deceit at some point in your life. The problem is they were not rooted and grounded or rooted and built up in the Lord. The problem was with the root, not with what the tree was exposed to. And so in order to counteract what they're going to see in the world, the vain deceit, those philosophies and other things like that, they need to be rooted in their faith before they encounter these, or in some cases, while they are encountering them. We had a master club over here next door on Wednesday nights, and we noticed that it was a lot of fun. There were crafts and other things being done over there. And there was a lot of effort and work being done in the master clubs. But we also noticed that the kids were more determined, and the people that were helping them were more determined to help them get their badges for their vests than they were to help them get rooted and grounded or rooted and established in the faith. So when Tony had an opportunity to go through and look at what was going on there, he needed to offer direction to those that were teaching and change the curriculum to make it a Bible club. The problem wasn't with those who were doing the work because they were doing the best they could with what they had. Change it to a Bible club for the simple reason to get more Bible into the kids so they would be rooted and established or built up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, you're here tonight, but if you have friends in the church who are not here tonight that have young children that could be here on Wednesday night, you know something? In a very gracious way, you ought to encourage them to be here with their children on Wednesday nights. You can't pray enough for these kids, and these kids cannot get enough Bible at this time. The truth of the matter is the program is good, the teaching is good. You ought to encourage them to be here not only for church on Sunday morning at 11, but to be here at 10 o'clock in a Sunday school class with their children in a Sunday school class. I go over there on Sunday mornings and I see the Burns and I see Kathy and I see Glenda and I see Ann and I see Brenda, and they're there in their classes and they're there a quarter till and the rooms are empty and a few kids show up. Listen, where we have children in the church, we need to encourage the parents of those children to be very, very involved in the lives of their children so that they can be rooted and grounded, rooted and established in the faith. The trouble is, if the roots are not well established, the tree is going to fall. Do you have an ash tree in your yard? You've seen them, right? Ash tree has this big trunk. It has all this foliage up there and looks like it's one of these really big, well-established trees. And then a windstorm comes and poof, the thing falls over and you see the root base and there's not a lot of roots there. They're not trees that have a well-established root system. And consequently, they fall easily. They get top heavy. So in church here, I know it can be difficult sometimes, but if you're here as a parent tonight, make sure that your children are well-trained at home in devotions and well-exposed to Bible club and Sunday school classes. What Tony's doing over there tonight with the teens works. It works. And it doesn't work if they don't get it. But it does work, and we're having the blessing now of seeing some teens that have come through most of our Sunday school. And today I was over at the nursing home at Holm Green, and Zach was there, and Jake was there. Joey would have been there if he wasn't working. John Sullivan was there, and they were leading singing and praying with the folks and ministering to the folks and playing piano. And you know what? That's a good thing. You know what that does? That causes roots to be well established and strong against these temptations to cause the tree to fall. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verses 16 and 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. First of all, we saw unestablished roots. And we see that good Bible doctrine at home and in church through Sunday school and Bible club and so forth really helps those roots to get established. Here we're looking at weak roots. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. That He would grant you, speaking of the Lord, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. Everybody wants to go to the gym and work out and get big and bulky. I say everybody. There are a lot of people that are doing that these days. They concentrate a lot of effort. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it also, the inner man is being strengthened. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and so forth. Weak roots. Weak roots are often seen in people who have weak faith. See, he says here that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. They have weak faith. They're wishy-washy. The Bible tells us in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because he's wishy-washy. He's on and then he's off. People who are weak in faith and people who have trouble loving others and being loved are like this. They haven't been strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, there are several things that can be done here. Obviously, when a Christian first gets saved, his roots are going to be weak. He's young. And what he needs is he needs exposure, he or she needs exposure to other people who are well grounded and rooted so that they can see that love of Christ that's in you and can begin to experience that love of Christ that's in you and that it will be in them as they grow. And they also understand that as they grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, their root base will strengthen. Well, what does that indicate? Several things. You know, it was very popular in certain churches. Whenever a Christian first got saved, they said, you know what we do? We got to get this person plugged in and working right away. So they'd get them teaching a Sunday school class or get them working in a Sunday school class or whatever so that they could be involved and take ownership. Listen, if they don't have strong roots, you know what happens? They can't stand. They're weak. So what do? You don't work somebody like that immediately. You give them a chance to begin to grow and get settled in and root in. Oftentimes, and some of you experience this, you might come from another church and we say, just take your time before you get started doing anything. Why? Just to make sure that your roots get down into the soil of this church and you begin to strengthen your faith in the Word of God and strengthen your love of the brethren, get to know who some of the folks are and they get to know you. The more, listen, that you're loved by the folks that are here, you were thanking God earlier, Brother Jerry, for the church, the more that you get loved by the folks that are here and the more that you love the folks that are here, the stronger you are rooted and grounded in love. It's a very practical thing. And so oftentimes you'll find when a person doesn't last very well, a lot of times the problem was it wasn't their personality. It wasn't your personality. It was that they were not well rooted and grounded in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the love of the brethren, weak roots. And you'll see those a lot of times in young Christians. Turn with me to Job chapter 18. Job chapter 18. Notice something else. I would say this, if you find that you are easily offended, I don't know if you are or not, but if you find that you're easily offended, it's not the people that offended you. It isn't really. No. It you know what it is? It is a weakness in your root system. Watch. Psalm 119 says this, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you hang around people, you're gonna bump elbows and you're going to get bruised. Can't help that. And most of the time, it's not their fault. It's a lack of strength in the roots. You say, well, what do I need to do to strengthen that? In the first case of unestablished roots, they need more Bible. In the case of weak roots, you need more time loving God. And that'll strengthen you. All right, here, Job chapter 18, verse 16. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. Now, we're talking about some wicked folks here. But the application is still good. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. If you have a plant and the roots go dry, the plant's going to wither. If you have a tree and the roots go dry, the branches are going to break. So roots need to be well watered. They need to be well watered. And without staying in this passage of Scripture any longer, let me show you two places where you find well-watered roots. First of all, Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. All right, there's a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Well, verse 2 says his delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, we've talked about the Word of God watering you and strengthening you. But notice the first part. Notice the first verse in that psalm. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. In other words, there's a combination here to deal with the dried roots. On the one hand, he's got to get exposure to the Word of God. But on the other hand, he has to separate from the ungodly influences in his life. Haven't you noticed that sometimes what happens is you've got a person, they come to church, and they're pretty faithful there for a while, but the trouble is when they're not here, they're in the world. You know what happens to the root? It gets dry. So separation from the world, this counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, the seed of the scornful, really helps. You'll notice sometimes, perhaps I've noticed it in my own life, and I've noticed it in the lives of others. When a person makes a steady diet out of all the stuff the world has to offer, newspapers, magazines, television, news, internet, radio, all that, we have a steady diet there and a very small diet of the Word of God, the root is dry. You need a heavy diet of the Word of God and less exposure to this. I'm not saying to cut yourself off from the news so you don't know what's going on. Just don't get too much of this because it will have a drying effect on the root. It'll dry out the soil around your plant. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17 and notice another one. Jeremiah chapter 17. Look at verses 7 and 8. I noticed there was a time, I don't remember who it was, Brian, I guess, you know, told me years ago, you ought to get on Facebook. And I did. I think I was on there for 2 or 3 weeks. And my problem with it is that when I woke up in the morning, it's the first thing I wanted to check. Who'd make a new post? Before I went to bed at night, first thing I wanted to do, I wanted to go in there and see what all the last news was, make all the last posts and go to bed. You know what? I was cutting off valuable time with the Lord in both of those things. It was drying up my root. I said, I can't do this. It's not for me. Cut it off. Jeremiah chapter 17, look at verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's a well-watered tree right there. Why? Because of his trust in the Lord. Because of the hope in the Lord. All right, so if you want to be well watered, if you notice that your root is getting dry on your tree, the thing to do is to put more trust in the Lord and more hope in the Lord. What I've noticed, and you have too, is that there are many things challenging your trust right now. You know, we live in a country where the economy is unstable. We live in a time where terrorism is a problem. We live in a time where politicians are really confused about how to deal with the problems that our country faces. And when I say confused, maybe they know what to do, but the political pressure is very difficult on them to do the right thing. The incentives are to do the wrong thing. And I think it was Milton Friedman that said, I think that's who it was, what we need to do is we need to change the incentives so that even the wrong men have the incentive to do the right thing. Well, it's not like that now. The incentive is for the right man to do the wrong thing. All right. And what that does, it has a tendency to shake your faith a little bit. It has a tendency to cause you to go, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. Well, I can tell you, whatever it is that's going to happen is probably not going to be good. But your faith and my faith still need to be strong in the Lord. Our hope needs to be in the Lord. And when it is, we're well watered. There are a lot of things that are going to happen that you can't change. But if your trust and hope is in the Lord and it's strong, you'll be well watered and well grounded and well rooted to go through those kinds of things. So that's dried roots, and that's what to do about those. It has to do with too much worldly influence, and we need to be well watered by our trust in the Lord and by cutting off the worldly influences. Here's another one, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, there's another root, springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So here we're looking with bitter roots. We've looked at unestablished roots, weak roots, dried roots, and now bitter roots. Bitter roots are often seen with people who just have this knack of defiling, having a defiling influence on other people. And you know what happens with somebody that has a bitter root? You know, they say, if I change my friends, things will get better. If I change my circumstance, if I change my location, if I change whatever, things are going to get better. If you're bitter down in here, you change all that. And you know what you'll do? You'll defile with an influence the next group of people that you're associated with. Because the trouble is not with your circumstances. The trouble is down inside, deep inside of you. It has to do with bitterness. Perhaps you know somebody that's bitter. And you're sitting there going, I need to make them a lemon or meringue pie and they'll be better. And I just need to give them a better gift for their birthday and they'll be better. I just need to say nice things to them and they'll be better, and they don't get better. You know what? You can just bend over backwards and you're not going to be able to fix it. And the reason is, deep down, they are bitter. Now, bitterness generally is directed toward God. A person who's bitter wouldn't say that. They could point to right away and say, you know, my mother or my friend or my job or my boss or my something did this to me. And so, you know, if they would just take care of what they did to me, then this would all be better. It's not going to fix it. But you have to recognize when you have a bitterness, and then what happens is you turn it to God because you said, God, if you'd have been doing your job in this situation, this wouldn't have happened to me, so now it's your fault. Of course, a person like that would never admit to you they're blaming God. But I found that when somebody is in a bitter case like that, if they'll get down before God and really sort it out, they would admit, hey, you know what, I am angry with the Lord. And then, if you would admit that, you could actually sort it out with God and get down to the root of where this started, and then you have to dig the whole stinking thing out by the root. And if you do, then the thing won't trouble you anymore and it won't defile other people. So, I heard somebody say to me one time, I just need to make some new friends. Making new friends doesn't help this. Because you'll make new enemies out of your new friends. It doesn't work. The problem is deep, and the problem is in you, and the problem is you don't want to face it to yourself and say, I am causing this. No doubt the root of the matter is with me. But that's bitterness. So if you find in your life that you're just constantly in the presence of people where there seems to be this bad influence in your life, quit pointing the finger out, point the finger in, see what you got. You might find that there's bitterness there. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 10. These are evil roots. 1 Timothy 6:10. These are evil roots commonly found in the heart of covetous people. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, people have trouble with covetousness. Covetousness, the Bible says, is as idolatry for us. And the trouble is that the root is evil. I think to a certain extent, the effort that, what's his name? That does the financial peace seminars on the radio? David Ramsey. Yeah, I appreciate to some extent really what he's done. I think I've got friends of mine that have been helped by his program. They've learned how to sort of take control of their budget and so forth like that. And if they're not a covetous person, that can help straighten out some financial mess and quit spending so much money and live within their means and get some bills paid. But you know, there's some people that thing doesn't help. And the reason is they're covetous, and a budget doesn't fix that problem because the problem runs deeper than the budget. It runs into the root. And so if you find in your own life, again, I don't know anybody here that I would be addressing that has this problem, but it may very well be that you do. If you find that you're having trouble with money or trouble with covetousness, first of all, it's going to be hard for you to admit. But secondly, if you would be willing to admit it, you might find that it's not a budget problem. A budget would help, but it's not going to solve the problem because the problem is deep down inside. There is a bad root in there that just will not let you rest. You've got to have everything that your heart desires. And when that's the case, you're going to be in trouble. I really think... I know I talk about mega churches from time to time, and I'm not trying to just pick on them. But it becomes obvious because they call themselves Christians, they do have churches and all that, but I'll tell you what, the driving force in the pulpit of a lot of those churches is covetousness. And it is an evil root and it bears bad fruit. And we have not seen the end result of the problems caused by the megachurch movement even to this day. A lot of it's beginning to show up. You're seeing adultery now, and you're seeing a variety of other problems, infidelities and immoralities and things showing up in the pulpits. And it should be no surprise because the root was bad. It's the root of all evil when a man is covetous. So look in your own heart, or perhaps it helps you to understand what's wrong with somebody else that you know. An obvious one, Luke chapter 8, verse 13. We'll just go over there to be thorough in our study. You already know this one, Luke chapter 8, verse 13. This is in the parable of the sower and the seed. And here's the problem. They that are on the rock, Luke 8, 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. You say, I don't know why so-and-so isn't back here, or I don't know why so-and-so didn't last, or whatever. It may very well be the problem is they never became a Christian in the first place. People today are very careful to say whenever they have somebody pray with them, well, so-and-so made a profession of faith. I'm looking for that in my Bible. And they say that because what they're saying is, I'm not sure he got saved, but he prayed this prayer and professed to believe in Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you something. If there is not regenerating work of the Spirit of God done in the soul of that person who prayed that prayer, they're not saved. I don't care what they professed. And then you see them not hold, they don't last, and they blow out on you and all that kind of thing. You say, I don't know how in the world that happened to them. I do. Oftentimes the problem is they never got saved in the first place. There's no root. Now, you can't judge everybody that gets off into sin that way, but it may very well be that you've got a family member or a loved one or a good friend, and they're just not panning out. And you know what? And you're sitting there going, I'm praying for this new Christian, and they're just not growing. They're not panning out. It may be that you're praying for somebody who's not even a Christian. And the problem is they have no root. All right? And then finally this, Proverbs chapter 12. There are many things we could show on this one. We'll look only in Proverbs chapter 12 at two verses. And that are these are righteous roots. So we've looked at unestablished roots, weak roots, dried roots, bitter roots, evil roots, no roots, and now righteous roots. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse 3. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the fruit of the righteous shall not be moved. Well, the root of the wicked is going to be plucked up and burned. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. If you're saved here today, then your root is not moved in the sense that you are established, you are eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something else. If you have found yourself to be unestablished or weak or dry, if you will concentrate effort from the Scripture on righteousness in your own life, you will see your root get established. You will see that your root does not move so easily. All right, for instance, here's a person that's saved, and here are all these enticements of the world to sin that draw you. You notice you move to it because your root isn't deep down. It's like your roots walk on the earth, and you move with every enticement that's around you, every new good situation that seems to attract your attention or appeal to your lust. You say, well, how do I deal with that? Concentrate your effort on righteousness in your own life, on holiness in your own life. Build strength in when you see sin in your life, go to work with God to make sure that sin doesn't have dominion over you in your life. If it's a wicked imagination or a wicked heart or lustful desires or greed or envy or bitterness or whatever it is. Just go to work on righteousness in your life. Romans chapter 6 is a great place to be. It talks about yielding our members to righteousness. Just live every day with this conscious understanding. I want righteousness to rule in my life. I want to yield to righteousness. You know what it'll do? That will cause your root to go down like a deep taproot. It won't, listen, it won't stop the temptations for the things around you. What it'll do, though, it'll make you strong so that when those temptations are there, you don't move, because the root of the righteous doesn't, it's not moved. So it's not a matter of saying, well, I just can't look at that anymore, or I can't, I mean, that's true, but it's not just a negative thing. It's a matter of building righteousness in your life through prayer, through the Bible, through a conscious desire to walk in the righteousness of the Lord. That really causes you to be well established and not easily moved. And then Proverbs 12:12, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Look at your own life and you say, you know, I don't think that my life is as fruitful as it should be. I would like to have more influence in the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. I would love to be able to lead a soul to Jesus Christ, whatever the case may be. Same deal. Concentrate your effort on righteousness in your own life, because it's the root of the righteous that yields fruit. And it's not just a matter of you being saved, but it's a matter of the salvation that you have permeating your very being. Walking with the Lord. And then being diligent about the things the Bible says. Being a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. And in the process of living out the righteousness of God in your life will become fruitful. It is a natural consequence of developing the root. I remember when I first got saved, I said, boy, I want to see a bunch of souls saved. You know, go out and just pass tracts everywhere you can, witness to everybody you can talk to and all that kind of stuff. That's all real good. But the fruitfulness comes. That, you know what? What happens? Zealous for a little while, burnout, like a bottle rocket. It's better off to concentrate a lot of effort on the righteousness in the root of that tree so that that tree can get strong and God can use it, your life, to bring forth fruit. Okay? Those are some, that's the root of the matter. Some things that you find in the Bible concerning that word that concern us. Hopefully it's been a help to you. You can do something with that. If the roots are unestablished, get them in Sunday school. Get them in private devotions at home. If the roots are weak, spend more time loving God so that you're not shaken. If the roots are dry, get away from the worldly influences and get watered in trusting and hoping in God. If the root is bitter, you got to get down to what caused it and pull it out. If the roots are evil because of covetousness, you've got to get down into that covetous root and pull it out. If the thing's not showing any evidence of Christianity, liable to be that he's not a Christian, no root there. And if you really want to be fruitful, if you don't want to move, concentrate your efforts like Enoch did, walking with God and building on the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your life. That'll help you. Father, thank you today for a clear understanding of the things and the words of God. I pray these have been very helpful to those that have gathered here tonight, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.